Hi, my name is Ashley Hallen. I am 19 years old, and today is October 26, 2017, and I'm sitting with my friend, Matt Bongiovanni, and we are recording this interview in the beautiful town of Chico, California. So first, I'm going to ask Matt, when and where were you born?
I was born in Fremont, California, mainly because my parents at the time lived in Hayward, which isn't too far in the Bay Area, and the rest of my siblings were also born in Fremont, just for convenience of my family and where we're from.
What day were you born?
Oh, I was born June 19th, 1998, so that makes me 19.
And where did you grow up?
I grew up for the first couple of years, so when I was four, I grew up in Hayward. However, I did move after my parents wanted to relocate because Hayward got a little sketch at times. So we then moved to Tracy, California. And since then, in 2004, I believe, we've lived there and resided there ever since. And that's where I grew up mainly, Tracy.
And what was Tracy like?
Tracy was a little bit of both of the big town, small town feel. We were pretty developed in having like tons of shops and, you know, different restaurants, and like we were very developed as a city and a community, but also we still have that small rural feel. And I actually lived with my family on the outskirts of Tracy. We actually were technically, you know, counted as San Joaquin County, and living out there in that neighborhood in the country, it was definitely a great atmosphere for me to grow up. I was really close with my neighbors, and they became like family members to me, and it was just a little bit of a break of being in such a tight neighborhood, and we actually had some room to, you know, grow up as a family and run around with other people in our neighborhood. And so it was a good town to, you know, set my roots of my formative years.
Very nice. Now tell me more about your siblings. Were you very close with them?
Yeah, I was really close with all my siblings. First, I have my oldest sister. She's 26 right now, and her name's Ashley Bongiovanni, and she's an occupational therapist. She actually works in a nursing home right now in Alameda, where my dad currently resides, and she just takes care of them in terms of nursing and therapeutic treatment. Then I have my brother who also lives in Alameda, but he does work in Hayward, where we grew up for the first couple of our years as a police officer. He works usually 3 days a week and the 4 days off, but just doing, you know, the simple rounds of a police officer. And then I have my other brother who currently lives in eastern New Mexico. That would be Josh. And he actually is just wrapping up his last year of college. He actually went to college on a full ride scholarship for football. And then there was me that, you know, went to Chico State, and I'm in the agriculture field. So me and my siblings have been really close. I've been lucky to have such a diverse group of siblings. We all definitely clinch to our own different, you know, interests or hobbies and whatnot. And yeah, we are really close. And I think the great thing is like we're very supportive of one another, even though some of us, you know, might not know medical terms like my sister knows, and like my siblings don't know different farming, agriculture issues like I might know. However, we're all very supportive, and we're definitely all doers, and that has made us close because we're all very goal-oriented.
Good to hear. Now, can you tell me just a little bit more about your childhood?
My childhood was pretty interesting, I would have to say. I grew up in a single-parent household, kind of. My parents did divorce when I was four. After making that move to Tracy, there definitely was some family stresses that led to a divorce. However, you know, I wouldn't say it's your typical divorce. Usually some divorces kind of come out nasty, and, you know, parents don't end up talking to each other, and there's all these stresses on the, you know, children, which at times there might have been. However, my parents were really close, and they were still number one goal is to support us kids. And so they worked it out pretty well. So I did live with my mom mainly. I wasn't that close with my father, but they were close. And my dad still supported us in a different aspect than my mom did. But so that was probably the most unique thing about my childhood for us kids. However, again, like living in rural, you know, Tracy, and with four siblings and a supportive mother and father, I was, you know, fortunate to be given so many opportunities to just grow as an individual and have every resource possible to make me successful. And I'd have to say I'm quite privileged in that aspect.
Now, while you were growing up, did you have any nicknames? And if so, how did you obtain these nicknames?
I probably have way too many nicknames to even talk about. I'm trying to think of the first one. Oh, I was called Magoo from when I was really little. My mom and my aunts used to call me that, and my grandma. I'm not sure where the name comes from. It's some Irish tradition, I guess, that was passed down, but they called me Magoo. My sister used to call me Machu when Pokemon was all big. Not sure why I'm like Pikachu, but Machu was the name. Then eventually when I got older, I got the nickname Bongo. It kind of was inherited from my older brothers from the football team. We all played football in high school, and started off with my brother as a hyphen to my last name, Bongiovanni, and then went to my next brother, Josh, and then to me eventually. And so yeah, I've had a couple nicknames, but Bongo probably is the one that's been the most relevant right now.
Now, Bongo, what was the worst thing you did as a kid?
The worst thing I did as a kid. I don't know. I would have to say I was pretty, to the books as a kid. My parents had a really tight grasp on me, which I never really noticed because it didn't seem like they were very strict or authoritative parents. But I can't imagine the worst thing. I really don't think I was that bad as a kid. Yes, I was very like high strung and energized, so maybe in the classroom I was very talkative and disruptive, but that's probably it for the worst thing.
Okay. And growing up, did you like school? Why or why not?
I actually really did enjoy school. Like, yes, here and there I do always say I'm dropping out or I'm all stressed out, but in all reality, I really do love school. I love, learning, and I always think I am a lifelong learner. And I think the main reason was because of the customs my parents put into our household. Just seeing how my father and my mom, pushed college since I was born. Like, right after I was born, the college account was already set up, and I didn't even know college was an option until high school. And I just thought it was a custom to go to education and make sure that was our number one priority and that was our job, And some of my peers might have chores at home, and I think my number one chore was my grades and studying and being as active as possible in extracurriculars and around my, campus. And so I really loved going to school because school became a huge objective for me to be successful at.
What were your most vivid memories of school?
I think some of my most vivid memories was definitely the opportunities I was given. I never ever stuck with something for really long, or if not, I would just add something onto it. Like at one point when I was in middle school, I remember being a part of student body, the drama program, basketball, football. And so I started seeing myself getting really active and engaged in a lot of different opportunities. And I would have to say that's probably one of my most vivid memories is just those different experiences I was able to go through with, because it really was the building blocks of who I am today, because I was able to get skills and friends and opportunities and networking from those opportunities in middle school and elementary and even up into high school. So I think when I think of those vivid memories and those that define my childhood, it's all those extracurricular opportunities that my parents were supportive for and that I was interested in jumping into.
Now, what about in high school? Did you have any vivid memories of high school?
Yeah, high school for sure. I don't know many people that don't have very vivid memories. It's definitely a transitional year, I think, from when you're going from a child to adult. Not only the ages, but also the maturity and then, the pressures of, getting your life together and being structured for what the future has to hold. And so I think some of my vivid memories was, finding out who I was, but not only who I was, but how can I obtain a career, a future with those skills and those personality traits and my interests as I had. I was thankful I had many educators and mentors to help me do that in high school. I think of my ag teachers and my counselors, and I think of those memories, of those times I always had those deep conversations with those adults and even my peers, and we talked about our future plans. I think I was so dedicated on figuring out what I wanted to do, and how it would fit with my lifestyle and give me that purpose that I, you know, most humans want. And I think of all the different experiences and those conversations I had that led me to figuring that out now.
Now, who in particular, is there anyone you remember most that would inspire you a lot in high school? Or in any childhood growing up?
I think I definitely have a list of people that have inspired me on a large scale, but even a small scale, they've all made a personal impact with me. However, I would have to say, I think someone in high school that really, had a really big impact on me was probably my agriculture educator, Nikki Maddox. And I think the reason was, not only was I just, you know, I loved how she taught in the classroom, and I was very, you know, drawn to her teaching styles and the way she interacted with students, but the way she was able to set a special bond with me as a student and really find interest in helping me be successful in the future. I don't think we see that as much in our educational system, is teachers actually really caring about student success. We want to make sure that they're obtaining this information of our curriculum, but I don't know if necessarily, you know, are they our biggest supporters? Are they making sure that we have every opportunity in line? Are we getting that scholarship money? Are we getting those due dates? I don't think that's there necessarily, but Ms. Maddox had that, and she was able to really get to know me really well and understand me on not only an academic level, but also a professional and personal level, working throughout the FFA. And I really was thankful to have a mentor and someone to have my back constantly throughout this transitional time.
Did you have any jobs when you were a teenager? And what did you do with the money you earned, if so?
I didn't have any really big jobs in high school necessarily, because again, my parents, you know, our number one chore was our education, and I really made sure that I spent most of my hours working on school and getting involved on campus. But I definitely did raise livestock for my 4-H and FFA chapter to show at the county fair, and that definitely was a job, raising market steers and market hogs for the county fair and making sure that they're properly fed, cleaned, they're getting the right nutrients, they're getting the right exercise, and getting washed, and etc. And that became a big job and took a lot of hours out of my schedule. I was up at 6 o'clock in the morning feeding cows when some of my peers were waking up at 7 o'clock getting ready for school. And so I definitely had some hours I definitely put towards raising livestock.
If you could go back and relive your teenage years, would you do it? Why or why not?
Honestly, I really wouldn't want to go relive my teenage years, because I think everything happens for a reason. And even those moments which I'm not the most proud of, or those moments which were really lows in my life and things that have happened, however, those moments are just as important as those positive memories I've had in my educational career, and I think educational and personal life. And I think, you know, everything happens for a reason, and it has made me the person I am today, and everything has a greater plan. And so I wouldn't want to go relive it, because things panned out what they're supposed to be, and it's not worth my, you know, time, you know, pondering of what could have been or what ifs. And I think really just living in the moment and making sure you're making the best of your time. And I wouldn't want to go back in time to do that.
I agree. Now, backtracking a little bit, what high school did you go to?
I went to Tracy High School. It was the main high school of our city. It took me around 15 minutes from where I live to get to high school. And that was it, pretty much. Tracy High.
Go Bulldogs. Now, about me. How would you describe me to someone who has never met me?
Oh. I think the way I would describe Ashley Howland is probably the most personable and probably the most relatable type of person. Someone that's very easy to get along with, pretty easygoing, good sense of humor, and just, you know, I don't think someone you can really make enemies with necessarily, someone that always has your back, and is honestly just a good friend, mainly.
That's right. Now, talk about the first time we met. What went through your mind?
The first time we met was probably in our PE class freshman year. I'm not sure what I was doing. I was pretty high energy, and I was probably making a fool of myself in front of the class like I usually do. But she was friends with we had mutual friends with this one girl named Bianca, and so we kind of, you know, that was our first impression then. And you know, I don't know necessarily what went through my head. I just thought she was a nice person and someone we could be friends with. And eventually we then worked on homecoming stuff for our floats, and we, you know, strengthened that relationship. And then definitely junior year is when we got really close.
That's true. Tell me a favorite memory of us or of me.
I think one of my favorite memories with Ashley would definitely have to be our barista runs during junior year. There's actually a small coffee shop in Tracy, and it's probably one of the bigger places to go if you're a Tracy local, because it's very unique, good coffee, good food. And me and Ashley made a point to go there almost every single day our junior year, and we definitely paid the rent with how much we purchased. And it was just a good time, because it was just like, it was so usual and such a good time to just like get away from school and just hang out with each other. And so I think that's one of my favorite memories. But I also think another memory, which I think is, you know, one I always think is funny, is when we actually, you know, when we came up to Chico, we were looking for jobs and internships, and just going around Chico and handing out resumes to different employers was definitely hilarious, just seeing how we interacted with people. And I definitely thought that was one of the highlights of that week.
I think my favorite memory is when we took shots before before our presentation in high school for our junior year. We took shots in the parking lot before a presentation where
which
we wrapped.
Which I got a B on.
And I got a C. I don't know how he got a better grade than me, but he did. It wasn't fair. So how would you describe yourself to someone who has never met you?
How would I describe myself?
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like a lot of people have like mixed impressions of myself, because I feel like, you know, from afar, I come off as this, like, very, like, rugged, you know, very, very strong-willed person. And sometimes I think people think I'm very dominant in social settings. And however, in reality, I think I'm a good guy underneath. I'm very friendly and very loyal as a friend. And I'm also, like, really big in communication. I think I'm definitely someone that's dependable and, you know, friend-worthy, if that makes sense. And I think sometimes people get a little intimidated because I definitely have a large presence in a room, because my personality, I think, is so big. But I do think, you know, if I had to describe myself as someone that is just really, you know, friend-worthy, that wants to be someone's friend and be a good one, hype them up as much as possible.
I agree with that as well. Okay. So, Matt, where were your ancestors born?
Okay, so on my dad's side, majority of his family, both from his mother and my grandfather, were Italian Sicilians. They were born in Italy and Sicily, and then traveled over to Ellis Island and then to America. My grandpa actually was my dad was first generation Sicilian American, and making me second generation. My grandpa actually came over on a boat with the dream to be a doctor in America, you know, but then he then would be a garbage man and own actually Waste Management, and had a really big share in that company, which, you know, is still successful as a person. He definitely lived the American dream. My grandma, you know, she wasn't born in Italy, but she came from Alameda, but her ancestors did come from northern parts of Italy, I believe. I think Licardi Fritta is the place in Italy. Then on my mother's side, she predominantly came from Ireland. Her maiden name's O'Connor, and my grandma Dorothy Gavin and my grandfather Robert O'Connor, both very Irish, Irish people, very proud Irish people. Both came from areas of Ireland through their ancestry. They actually met in San Francisco, however, from going to high school there and being raised not too far down the block from each other. And however, they both did come from Ireland. And so I am predominantly Irish, American, Sicilian. And that's my ethnic background.
Now, do you know any Irish words or Italian words?
Actually, I wish I really did know Italian. Irish, you know, Gaelic has kind of been out the window for a little bit. But no, I don't know any Irish, but I definitely know, I can understand a little bit of, like, sometimes Italian, I feel like smaller words I've heard at the dinner table during, like, Christmas and Thanksgiving for my other sides of the family, but, that did not come down with my family. My grandpa was the only one that really understood Italian instead of my grandma, but my father didn't end up getting it with his brothers. They didn't understand it at all, meaning us kids would never understood it. So I wish, though, I hope to one day understand it and be able to speak it.
Now, did the Italian and Irish culture weigh heavy on your lifestyle?
Oh, absolutely. I think... not necessarily the traditions, because they're kind of similar in aspects. They're both very family-oriented cultures. They're both very religious cultures, which definitely played a part in my life. I'm very Catholic, and that comes from both sides of my family. My grandpa and grandma that were Italian, very Catholic. And my Nana and my papa, very Catholic. And so that definitely came down to religious faith, which I'm proud to be coming from the Catholic Church. So that definitely played a toll on, you know, my beliefs and my virtues and my morals. Those definitely came from the religious side. In terms of the culture itself, I think the family-oriented part, which I touched on a little bit earlier, that family-oriented part played a major role because I find it super critical to always communicate with my family. Going to college in Chico and being separated from miles and miles and even states from my other siblings, I make it a priority to always contact my family, keep them in the loop of my life. And I know sometimes people aren't that close to their family, but I think the importance of family was something that was definitely taught heavily to us as kids, and it's something that we all share. I think we all understand the importance of family and having each other's backs and always being there for each other. And this was just built on through not only our parenting styles and our parents when we were little, but also those holidays and those, you know, religious times. Like, we hit on family a lot. If it's sitting down having a meal, or if it's, you know, our famous thing during Christmas is all the, you know, guys go down to the bar and we all drink, and that's just a family activity. And so there's these different activities that really have just strengthened us as a family and has increased that bond. So I think the two things I got away from my culture would probably be my religious beliefs, as they provided those morals and virtues, and also that family-oriented aspect from the Irish-Italian side, because those two things really define who I am and my perspectives in life today.
So are there any classic family jokes, stories, or songs that you can share with me?
We're not big singers, and our jokes definitely aren't appropriate. But I think stories for sure. My family on my mom's side, we're pretty close to the Brady Bunch. Like, we were that very close. We did camps. We did, you know, amazing races as families at our campsites, and we were just very big in getting together and having fun. If it was playing cards or dominoes, it was just a very, you know, simple thing to have those game nights and getting together and just, you know, spending time with each other. And so that's probably one of my biggest highlights on that side of the family, is those times where we just pick up the phone, hey, come out to town and we'll just, you know, let's have fun. Let's play a board game. Let's go out to the pumpkin patch. Let's go camping. And so I think those are my family stories on that side. Now, on my other side of the family, they were definitely a little bit more strict in their, you know, practices and those times we actually hung out with each other. My favorite stories, though, on that side of the family, Italian side, was definitely the conversations at Thanksgiving and Christmas. We are very political, our Irish-Italian side, and the talks about politics at the Christmas table were hilarious. Like, sometimes you just didn't even want to add in your beliefs because you just wanted to watch everyone else, you know, get all riled up about politics. I thought it was the funniest thing about those stories. And so those two moments were really important to me. However, I think my favorite memory and story as a child, which, you know, some might think was sad that, you know, I had to spend holidays without both parents at the same time. I had my mom on the Christmas morning, and I had my dad for Christmas dinner, and there was always a missing parent. And at first, when I was little, it was really hard, but the thing that made it great was what my sister would, you know, do to us when we were little. She would actually be the one that would drive us from Tracy in the morning and all the way to Alameda at the end of Christmas, and we had so much fun on that hour drive together. Like, those were best highlights of Christmas was just all four of us getting along for once, and all of us just rocking out to music, you know, telling stories, sharing jokes, and just having a good time as four siblings. And we almost had our own little mini Christmas just on the road. And I think it was really a great moment for us to grow as siblings, and we all reference it as one of our best moments as Christmas. And my parents might have thought it was sad. However, to us, it was one of the best things ever to get a break and just spend time as siblings.
Now, I know that's one of your happiest memories, but do you have any other, like, significant moments in your life that you were so happy?
Definitely the carpool with my siblings is one of probably the happier memories. I think another memory which really makes me just, like, you know, this pure joy comes out. It's just like when I was really little, my mom was working at all times. And so I would have to go to my Nana's down the street. She lived three doors down with my aunt and uncle in the trailer, like a mobile home in the back. And my mom told me, oh, you got to go to Nana's after school. And at first I was like, no, I want to come home. I want to watch TV. I want to do homework. I don't want to go to Nana's. However, going to Nana's for 3, 4 years, 5 years after school each day was some of the greatest memories I ever had. Like, just her trying to teach me the piano, even though it never happened. I was too energetic to do that. Or her trying to learn Italian with me, even though we're both, like, this was the Irish side. And so we did not know a lick of Italian. But we were trying painting with her. We did genealogy together. She would show me, like, she's really big in genealogy. So she would do, like, ancestry.com. And she would show me how to do that. And it was super interesting. Or sitting on the couch and watching Brother Bear with oatmeal cookies. Like, those little memories right then and there of us hanging out inside or outside gardening or et cetera. It was just, I don't know, just pure joy. I think, like, that's a childhood memory I'll never forget, is just being with my Nana, because she was honestly my best friend at that age. And we just, it was always someone I felt comfortable with. Like, there was no moment where I didn't feel, you know, comforted or loved or not valued. Like, I really just felt happy. And so I think that was one of my best memories, is spending time with my Nana after school.
Okay. How would you like to be remembered? Now we're fast forwarding a lot.
Okay. This is pretty deep. I think the way I want to be remembered is someone who's always striving to progress. I think a lot of people, you know, strive for perfection, which is great, you know, keeps you goal oriented and wants you to improve. However, I want to be someone that's only striving for progression, to be a little bit better than the day before, and to always keep moving forward and helping others also move forward and grow, not being selfish in my own success, but helping others be successful as possible. I try to keep the saying to myself is, like, strive for progression, not perfection, and always trying to improve and, you know, make each day as valued as possible, making myself jump into new experiences, jump into different situations that are out of my comfort zone, and always progressing as a person so that hopefully I can give those skills and those tools to others to help them be successful and to keep growing. I'm all about growth, and I think, you know, to the day I die, I want to be that person that's always growing, trying to be more knowledgeable, trying to have more experiences, trying to add on skills, and just never wanting to be content with life, always wanting to do more and try to be the best for myself, my family, and my friends.
That was a very good answer, Matt.
Thanks.
Now, with all this progression that you're doing with your life, you're growing so much every day, what do you ultimately want to achieve?
Well, I think there's a lot of different things I want to achieve, but I think at a surface level, I want to be a teacher. I want to be an ag teacher like my mentor, Nikki Maddox, and really be able to teach students about the agriculture industry. I find a lot of that value of growth in the industry, and I think it's really great to see how there's people that aren't only trying to grow as professionals in the industry, you know, adding new tactics to their farms or to their, you know, warehouses, but also they're trying to help grow our society and community by feeding the world. And there's a lot of growth in giving back. You know, some might say it's a business. However, I think it's really truly, like, they're helping out the community. They're listening to consumers' expectations and preferences. And similar to those farmers and those in the industry, I want to do that in the classroom. I want to be that teacher that listens to students and what their wants are and how can I make them learn and understand what is happening in the classroom. Not memorize it, not to just understand it for the test and then for us to forget it, but actually be able to apply those skills and those, you know, that curriculum to their lifestyles. you know, even today I think of those times when I was in Nikki Maddox's class and her small animal and horses class. Now, if anyone comes up to me and asks what rodents are or amphibians, I'll be able to tell you. What a weird thing to know, but at the same time, I'm able to make it applicable to my life. And so being relevant and always being one to grow in the classroom is something I progress to be. I think at a bigger picture, being a teacher and being in that role will give me that purpose. And I'm definitely a person that believes in purpose and that I'm set here to do something. And my heart says it's to help others and to help others grow in the classroom. And I think, you know, when I was in high school as a link crew leader, as a senior class officer, an FA member, I saw myself being able to help others grow, make them feel comfortable and valued in the classroom and even outside of the classroom. And I always feel like I'm a good friend to hype someone up and help them feel confident in who they are and knowing that there's no end. They can always move forward. And I want to be that person to always push someone to be their best, because helping others and helping them get to the highest degree of leadership and success shows a huge representation of who I am and those morals and values which I want to represent.
Now, in these future endeavors of yours, at any point, do you hope to start a family?
Yeah, I would really like to start a family, honestly. Some people say the career I picked as an ag teacher, it doesn't seem possible because the many hours you're putting into student success and help them grow again. But I'm someone that doesn't want to be content with life. I want to have a family, hopefully a lot of kids, and definitely give them a lifestyle that my parents gave me. You know, hopefully not the divorce aspect. I'm not going into a marriage like that, but definitely the values and virtues I was given. It really helped me as a person get far in life, and I want to, you know, have a family and be able to, you know, share a life with someone. So yeah, I do want to have a family.
Now, just something for your future kids to listen back on years from now. It's not going to be a bad question. Do you have any names in mind? Any?
I don't think my wife will ever let me do it, but I really want to name my kid Giovanni. So his name would be Giovanni Bon Giovanni. And we call him John, though, you know, translation. But I just think that would be so savage. Like, he'd be a legend if his name was that. And then maybe name my daughter, like, Bonnie. So it's, like, Bon. And so we just, like, Bon Giovanni. You know, that'd be kind of cool. But that's just an idea, though.
Sorry, kids. Is there anything it's probably a pretty repetitive question, but anything that you're extremely passionate about?
I definitely think you could tell I'm very passionate about family and education, for sure. I think it's really important, both those aspects, for people to try to acquire and try to take, you know, huge advantage of, you know, being active in a family if you have one, and education too, because education to me could even be another source of family. I think something I'm also really passionate about is those two and probably the agriculture industry. Like, I think, you know, I'm definitely represent family, ag, and education. Like, those are the three things that matter to me so much. I think it's because the ag industry, I haven't touched on this much, but the ag industry to me is just such a good, you know, industry that, you know, helps people out. And I really find it incredible of the growth and the improvements they have made as an industry and the way that they have, you know, solved so many of our world issues by just growing food and helping others. Like, you know, a recent statistic went out that, like, you know, there's an enormous amount of people in, like, Africa right now, or, like, those, you know, first world countries that are really, our third world countries, not first world, third world countries that are all, like, going, these children are going blind because they're all deficient in vitamin A. Something that we don't understand because we come from a privileged country. However, you know, agriculture in America is creating genetically modified organisms, which many consumers are against. However, if they only knew that was something that's going to improve lowering world hunger and also, you know, helping these, you know, people not be vitamin deficient, I don't know. It's great. To me, I feel like a lot of our issues are going to be solved by agriculture. We are the number one industry in California. We definitely have the most exports as a country. And I don't know. I'm just very passionate about agriculture and education. And I guess that's why I want to be an ag ed teacher. So, yeah, I would have to say that's something else I'm very passionate about.
Okay. Now, getting a little bit deep. If you knew that this was going to be our last conversation, is there anything you'd ever told me that you never told me that you would like to share with me now?
Oh my gosh, this is really deep. Honestly, I feel like my life's pretty much an open book. I feel like, honestly, Ashley's been my go-to person in Chico lately, and so I'm pretty open, so I don't know if there's anything, you know.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we know all of each other's deepest, darkest secrets.
Yeah, so I feel like that's pretty good. So I feel like you would know. You would know what everything.
Yeah, I would know, definitely. I was hoping that'd be your answer.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Okay. Gosh. Okay. So thinking about all the issues and accomplishments that are happening in America or California or just small town Chico today, how can you reflect on some of the major issues and how do you think that we could overcome them or how we hopefully overcome them in the future?
I think there's a lot of different issues going on today, like natural disasters. We just had a huge fire up in, you know, Santa Rosa area and even near Chico itself. We have political, you know, differences that are at all times high. You know, a lot of people don't agree with Donald Trump, you know, and there's definitely different differences that are, you know, being more increased than others. We have issues in the ag industry. We have issues in education. We have issues as a country as a whole in our international affairs. And that's just a small list of some of the bigger ones. And I really think, you know, for myself and for so many others, the only way that we can help is knowing all the facts, being highly educated and understand how this takes effect to us. And, you know, I challenge myself, I, you know, don't talk or have an opinion on something unless you really understand the true content of what it is. For example, you know, people in the dorms last year as a freshman, when the election was going on TV and people screaming for Hillary and people screaming for Donald Trump, you know, I can guarantee you 90% of those students have no clue on where they stand on a specific issue. I truly believe that. And, you know, and I tell myself, like, Matt, don't say anything unless you're educated. You have to understand the true concept of what it is. And I think as a world, we have just been way too vocal of just sharing out our, you know, things we're thinking and how we're feeling, which is great because that is valid. But at the same time, we just need to understand the facts. Like, what is really the logistical side of these issues and how can we fix them, such as budgeting? You know, people are like, oh, damn you, healthcare, for taking away this. Damn you for this. And they're sharing all these values. But if they only knew that, sometimes that's not what is really happening in the world. And that's, like, you know, through social media, that's not really getting the right concept of it or stretching the truth or doing the best way to market their issues. That's not necessarily the truth. So I recommend people doing research. And if we're able to research and actually compromise and not be so prideful as a nation, because a lot of people today, older generations and even today in mine, a lot of people have a hard time admitting fault. I don't know why. I think it's, I don't have a problem with it. If I mess up, I'm sorry. I dropped the ball. I fucked up. Like, I don't mind saying that, you know, because that's, you know, how this, you know, the world works. So, you know, we need to be less prideful as a nation and just understand the concept and be able to admit fault and come to a compromise. Those are the things that we can come to a middle and understand each other to actually find a solution to move forward. Not just stay in, you know, content in that one spot or move backwards, but actually move forward as a nation and as a world and as a community in Chico. And I think, you know, if we just were able to relate with each other a little bit more and with a little bit more education, we'll be able to solve those.
I hope you're listening, America 2050. I hope things have gotten better. Okay, so you also brought up social media. What is the most popular social media right now, and what's the most top-of-the-line technology?
Social media is, like, crazy improving. Like, it just constantly, there's a new app, there's a new database, there's always a new, you know, page that you can share your life, what you're doing 24/7, and yes, it's great because we're able to stay in touch with each other and be educated on, you know, maybe other issues if it's sourced right and actually with the right facts, and be more aware of our surroundings. However, social media has got so ridiculous where people are telling me, oh, I'm going to the bathroom or I'm at Taco Bell. Like, thank you for sharing that. You know, like, is that really needed? And so I think some of the current ones, definitely Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat for sure. I think those are the three main ones I use and I see most of my friends using. Facebook's also another one I see a lot of. So yeah, social media is always trending, and I can only imagine what it's going to be when we get older. It's going to probably be so advanced where none of us can even imagine what it's going to look like. It'll be, surrounding us like always. I think it'll constantly be something that, the youth and even young adults will always want to be a part of.
Yep. And I don't know how evolved you kids have gotten, but I'm recording this on an iPhone 7. Matt's born an iPhone 6. You guys are probably on iPhone 23.
Probably.
Oh gosh, probably holographs and stuff.
Oh yeah. It's not even a real
phone. You guys are way advanced. So we're kind of coming to an end of this interview with Matthew Bongiovanni. And I just want to ask you, Matt, thinking about your family many generations from now and knowing that they may hear this recording, is there anything you want to say to them? Any wisdom or advice you would like to share?
I think, again, I talked about my personal goal of always striving for progression and not just for perfection. And definitely taking experiences and opportunities at any risk or any, chance you can, because it really is the building blocks. And I understand now why employers want all these internships and all these things on your resume, because it really does add to a person of not only their skill sets and those transferable skills, but also just who they are and the things they've seen and the people they talk to. And you open this network of possibilities. And I think if I had to talk to my great-great-grandchildren right now, I'd hope that they are continuing to do that. I hope that's something I could pass down to my kids, and it'll constantly be the thing is to never settle, to always move forward and open your box and open your mind as much as possible. And, don't be sheltering yourself from possibilities. Our ancestor came here, my great-great-grandfathers and even my grandfather came from Sicily. He came here with that same mindset, was to come find opportunity. And so think about that one person that made our family tree is the one person that looked for opportunity. And here I am standing searching for those opportunities still. And so I'd hope that's something that we carry on of appreciation, is those opportunities to really engage yourself into society, our academics, our personal life, and just really network who we are and have our best representation. I think additionally, I'd also want to say is always stay respectful. I think that's also another key value to me, and I'd hope to see that be passed down in my family trees. It's we were the respectful family. And I think respect is such a huge thing that is starting to lack in generations, sadly. I think people are coming a little bit too more vocal and too out of their boxes with not wanting to respect each other. And I want to make sure that we continue to respect each other in any situation, environment, person we talk to, and really represent yourself. Your reputation's everything. Not saying if you make a mistake, your life's over. I totally don't agree with that. That's an excuse to be lazy and to give up on life as a whole. If you make a mistake, learn from it and move forward. In all reality, that's what you have to do. Life is not all about, your mistakes. It's about how you learn from them and those opportunities that you're going to gain from it. You know now not to, drink an extra soda because this made you sick. You know now that you need to pay your bill on time because it was late and you got charged. Keep moving forward and always pushing yourself to new opportunities while remaining respectful and professional to other people, because your reputation and your name's out there. And if we're representing the Bongiovanni family, we have to be legends. And that's the most important thing, I think, is, setting a name for yourself out there today. And hopefully the name that my grandfather sent out and my dad has carried throughout his life and his garbage company and, the ones me and my siblings have carried and hopefully our kids will carry and hopefully then the next generations that hopefully hear this, is that, be prideful where you come from, but also move forward. I think that's the best thing, is to never be content. That would have to be my advice, is to always do your best and move forward and just, don't think that you already have your destination already ahead of you, because there's already so many things that are going to lead you to where you're supposed to be. And don't think that you have to settle for anything that your father did. I went through that with your great-great-grandfather, I guess that would be. You know, sometimes, you know, your parents might want you to do something. However, that's not necessarily who you are. There is definitely a bigger purpose out there for you, and you got to search for it by doing those opportunities.
Thank you, Matt. And that has been an interview, once again, October 26th, 2017. Ashley Hallin interviewing Matthew Peter Bongiovanni. Thank you. Signing off.